But let us, in the time we do have, turn to the book of Acts, chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. I know that we have just celebrated Easter and how Christ died, how that he also conquered death, and how he's alive forevermore. But today I want to talk about not just his death, but his suffering. That's what I want to emphasize today in our worship. The sufferings of Christ. Do you ever think about the sufferings of Christ? We think about his death. We think about his resurrection. Do we ever think about his suffering?
Yes, sir.
As a person, he suffered. And so in Acts 26, verse number 23, and that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles, that he should suffer. Notice that. Christ should suffer. He came for that purpose, to suffer. And he also, it says, that he should... I've lost my place. He should rise from the dead. Suffer and rise. That's what he came to do. In the Old Testament, we're told of the suffering and the coming Messiah. And especially in the Psalms and in Isaiah, we see this. And also in the book of Zechariah, and of course many other places as far as that is concerned, that Christ was going to come and that he was going to suffer. He'd be a suffering Messiah. In Isaiah 53, we remember that famous scripture in verse 3. He is despised and rejected. Do you feel when someone despises you and rejects you, does that cause you to suffer a little bit?
Yes, sir.
Amen? That even they're suffering emotionally when you are despised by somebody or rejected and maybe for no reason of your own, right? Think about that. He's a man of sorrows. He's acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. Why did he go through all this suffering? Isaiah said, for us. He was suffering for us. And he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Peter also mentioned that in his writings. And what he's talking about, he's not talking about necessarily physical healing, although physical healing is in the atonement when we get our new bodies, but he's talking about our souls have been healed because of the sufferings of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And let's not forget that. Our soul has been healed.
Amen.
And that's because we've been saved now. And we are a new person now. And we're in Jesus Christ now, no longer condemned. Let's not forget that. And so by his stripes we are healed. Our salvation is sure. It was hard for our minds to comprehend such suffering. And why would he suffer so after he is the creator of the world with omnipotent power. If he's God Almighty in the flesh, why would he allow himself to suffer so? Isn't he got enough power to allow that to happen to him? Of course he did. But he didn't come for no other purpose but for to suffer. That's why he came, because it was going to take suffering that we might have salvation. Why would he suffer at the hands of mere men when he had created, if he had made the world that man lives in? Think about that. The answer lies in the gospel message of his redeeming love for all of us. God's love for all of us is more than you and I can even comprehend. Did you all know that, church?
Amen.
You can't comprehend how much God loves you. And that's why he suffered at the hands of man like he did, because of his redeeming love for you and I that was made or created in his very image. Not even angels was made in his image. You think about your place in God's creation. You're someone made in his image, and he loves you. John 3:16, we know God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten Son that whoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. To put it simply, the sufferings of Jesus Christ was because of man's sin. Let that soak in. The sufferings that Jesus Christ went through was because of me. Because of you. When we think we're a good person today, we think we're a pretty good person. But our sins were so bad, it caused his sufferings. Let that soak in. So, to put it simply, the sufferings of Jesus was because of man's sin and God's love for us. The love of God is beyond description. Even the angels of heaven look on with awe at the grace of God being bestowed on me and you. God did not offer to save the angels that sin, but he's provided salvation through the sufferings of Christ for fallen humanity. Amen. Well, that ought to straighten us up. That ought to make us think twice. Because he didn't have to do any of this. He didn't have to suffer. He didn't have to save us. But his love for us moved him to come into the world and lay his life down. Only the wisdom and the knowledge of one who is omniscient could have provided such a plan of salvation to rescue us. Let me talk to you first about the physical sufferings of our Savior. The physical sufferings. Sometimes we think about suffering as in the physical. Well, we'll talk about that for a little bit. The sufferings of Jesus began soon after he was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the chief priests and the elders with the multitude came to arrest him after all night praying to his heavenly Father. Prayed all night long. And then before dawn, they came to arrest him. He was arrested and taken before six different trials by hostile men. Six different trials. He went before Annas, the previous high priest. Boy, a wicked man. But he was a religious man. Then he was taken to Caiaphas, his son-in-law, who was now high priest. They took him to him, the current high priest. And he was no better than Annas, his father-in-law. Then he was taken before the Sanhedrin. That was a group of 70. That was the religious rulers of the Jewish people. Now, all of the Sanhedrin, there were 70 of them in that council, but all of them didn't go to it. Apparently, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea was not there. It might have been they were not noted because they might have noted they were had different feelings towards Jesus than they did. But he was taken before the Sanhedrin that gathered together. Then he was also taken before Pilate. Who was the governor at that time, the Roman governor. Then he was taken before Herod, because Pilate didn't want to have to make a judgment. Herod ruled up in Galilee. Oh, and he wanted to see Jesus. He'd heard about him. Then Herod made no decision. He shifted him back to Pilate. And Pilate tried to get out of making a judgment against Jesus. So here is six different trials Jesus had to face. And the Bible says in Isaiah 50 and verse 6 about Jesus, I gave my back to the smiters. Listen to this. Jesus, the Son of God, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. You men, let your beard grow out a little bit and let somebody pull on it. How does that feel?
That feel?
You ladies, how does it feel somebody to yank you by the hair of the head? Don't feel good, does it? That's what they did to Jesus. They plucked off the hair of his cheeks. He said, I hid not my face and shame from shame and spitting. They stood there and they spit in his face. Think about it. He's the Son of God. He was their creator. Actually, he stood there and allowed them to do that. He had more than I did. In Isaiah 52:14, and here's what happened. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man. His face was so beat, so bloodied. He didn't even look like a man. And he stood there and took that. And he was the Son of God who had omnipotent power. Amen. Who could have called 12 legions of angels down. But he didn't. Why did he stand there like that? Because of my sin.
Amen.
Because of my sin. Because of your sin. Because We were not good. Our world is sick today with pride. Yet so many people think they're so important. So many people today think they're somebody. I'm talking about in the context of their importance. Jesus' worst beating came from Pilate after all this, because he ordered his soldiers to tie Jesus to a post. Now think about this. And they commenced to strike his back with lash after lash after lash, exposing the very bones in his back. Beaten within an inch of his life. Many times a person beat like this died right there. And then he was ordered to take his cross and take it to a place of crucifixion on Calvary. But being so weak, another person was bidden to take the cross for him. He was so beaten and weak. Bleeding, stumbling, he was led then by the soldiers to a place of crucifixion. I'm talking about the sufferings of Jesus Christ for me. For you. At Calvary, he was stripped of all of his clothes. And spikes were driven into his hands and feet, tearing away the flesh with excruciating pain. Then he was flanked on each side by another victim as they too were crucified because of their sins and crimes against the Roman government. So he was hung between two criminals. He was identified with criminals, and the Bible says he would be. He was just fulfilling the Bible, the scriptures. At Calvary, all this was taking place. Then the cross was raised upright as the Savior was suspended between heaven and earth. Place where he was placed by next to a road where the throngs of people, but of thousands, tens of thousands, was gathered for the Passover. And they could see what happens when you go against Rome. That was the message. There was never any sin proved against Jesus. He was crucified by people that made false accusations. Boy, that's going to be a sad day on Judgment Day for them, won't it? But he was crucified because he said he was the Son of God. Think about this. That's why they crucified him, because he said he was the Son of God. Luke 23:34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Think about this, church. Here is Jesus. They spit in his face. They beat him in the face. They plucked out his beard. They beat him so he can hardly stand up. Then they've hung him on a cross. And from a cross, he says, Father, forgive them. There ain't never been nobody else like that, have they? Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And you know what? That was the truth. They didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know they were doing that for themselves, to pay for their own sin. They didn't know that. And then what did they do? The soldiers, they took his few clothes, his set off to the side there and gamble for them. After all this, the Savior wanted these men to be forgiven of their sin. Now that's God, folks. That's how much God wants people to be saved. Why can't we get this message to the world? Why can't people believe this? Why can't people see this? That God loves them so much. Look what he did for them. It was a pitiful scene, that dark day in human history. The women who had followed Jesus and supported his ministry were there with his mother. His mother stood and had to face that, folks. She knew who Jesus was. Amen? She knew who Jesus was. Mary stood there helpless. I can just see a mother like Mary agonizing there. All she could do was weep. John, the beloved disciple, was also there, viewing all that was going on. And later, he would write the Gospel of John, tell about the great sin committed against the Son of God, church. The way Jesus was treated was why Jesus gave his life for sin. Because that's the way man is. That's the heart of man, the way he's treated. Men are sinners. They need a Savior. There is a Savior. Sadly, men don't want him. Still don't want him. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God. You know, we don't want to admit how wicked we are, do we? I'm good. These physical sufferings were horrible. Why was God allowing his son to suffer like this? So many people have wondered. God knew what he was doing. Jesus was not being taken and done like this because he was helpless. Jesus submitted to it. Jesus was pleasing God. Great day in the morning, folks. God required this of Jesus. My daddy worked the far out of me. But he didn't require that. But God required that. But God knew what he was doing. See, God's wise. God's all-knowing. God knows what sin has done. God don't make mistakes. You know what's going on in our world today? He could not even let it happen, but he did. He let it happen. I'm not saying God caused this. I'm saying God allowed this. God knew what he was doing. He don't make mistakes. I mean, I make mistakes when I'm trying to do right. Amen? I make mistakes trying to do right. At my age I am now, I do everything two or three times before I get it done. Amen? Because I keep messing up. Yeah. God don't do that. All of this was foreordained by God before he made the world. All this was planned out. Planned out to the dot what was going to take place. But it didn't catch God by surprise. When Jesus left heaven, he knew what he was going to do. What many people don't understand is God knows everything. He's always known everything. And he's dealing with man's awful, awful sin. And this was the only way to deal with our sin that would satisfy God. That's how awful our sin is. And if you will go back in the Bible and read when Jesus was praying out in Gethsemane, he said, "Father, if there's any other way, let this pass from me." There was no other way. That's how horrible sin is, folks. That's how much God hates sin, to allow his son to go through all of this, folks. Have y'all got the message yet? It's because of me. Because of you. That it required this. God is not just someone who can overlook sin like so many people think. Well, he's God. He can just... No. He's not that kind of God. Our God's a holy God. He has to deal with sin. Sin has consequences. And the wages of sin is death. That's why you're going to die. Unless the rapture happens. Sin's the problem. The Son of God is going to die and pay the ultimate price for sin in behalf of man and for the sake of all mankind. God has now paid for sin. Now, I'm not like some preachers. I believe God's paid for everybody's sin.
Amen, sir.
I believe that. I believe anybody who wants to be saved can be saved. Their sin's paid for. I'm going to preach a message. I'm going to be working on it in a few weeks about some of these preachers that's highly educated. I'm just a country preacher, but I know better than this. God paid for everybody's sin. And anybody can be saved if they accept Jesus. All you got to do is read John 3:16. But they explained that away. I'm not going to explain it away. Now God's paid for everybody's sin. Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And the Lord himself said, if you believe in Jesus, you'll have salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Christ has died, paid for sin. You want to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be saved. Because God said you would. Not because I said you would, but because God said you would. Now, he's the final authority, by the way. I wish all people could understand this. All the guilt of man, sin, was transferred to Jesus as he hung on the cross. Think about this. All of our sin was taken off of us and took over and put on Jesus. And he paid for the sins of all the world. He has allowed his son to pay for all of our sins. And if we will accept his son as our savior, it's credited to us what he has done. Amen. If you went and bought your new car, and you bought it on credit, and your neighbor said, "Well, I'm going to go pay your car off." And he goes pay your car off, you know what? The bank's not going to require it to be paid again. It's paid off. A few years ago, I come through Red Springs, and I stopped at the car lot. And me and my wife moseyed over there where the trucks was at. And I got to looking at that black thing, and I said, ain't that a pretty thing? I'd like to have that. Would you like to have that, honey? I said, yeah, I'll buy it for you. I said, no, we can't do that. I'll buy it for you if you want it. Well, honey, I want it, but we better not buy it. We got the salesman, and she paid the salesman for the truck. We've never got another bill for it. It's paid for. I'm still driving it 12 years later. Jesus Christ paid for all sin. It's not going to be required again, brother.
Amen.
Y'all understand English? Amen. Jesus was hanging on the cross. Suddenly the sun ceased to shine. Oh, my goodness. God fixed to make his presence known, ain't he? The sun ceased to shine. The earth began to shake violently. And the veil in the temple was torn apart from top to bottom, signifying a way was now open where all men could approach God. Frightened and terrified, the shocked crowd could not see Jesus now as the wrath of God suddenly came down on his son into darkness. Yes, God's wrath was poured out on his only son as he judged him so he wouldn't have to judge me and you. Remember the car story I just told you about? We've never got another bill for that truck because it was paid for that day. And God has paid for my sin, and I won't ever be accused of it anymore. And neither will you, if you believed. Amen? Won't that make a Baptist shout? Yes. God's wrath came upon his soul. Jesus, from 12 o'clock until 3 in the evening, the wrath of God was upon his son. He was nailed there at 9 o'clock. And at 12, the wrath of God came on him. The sun refused to shine for 3 hours. And finally, they heard Jesus screaming, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Because he'd been made sin. That was his suffering. Now lean a little bit closer. Let me tell you something. That was just part of his suffering. Now, let's talk about his soul was made an offering for sin. We just talked about what his body experienced. Now his soul is going to be made an offering for sin. Think of how Jesus was beaten and abused by these wicked people as he hung on the cross. But that was just the beginning. About 3 o'clock in the evening on that Friday evening, from the cross, Jesus, and from the lips of the Lamb of God came the most awful scream, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Hebrew scholars say it sounded like a roaring bull dying. His scream was so violent, so awful. To be forsaken by God, to the one he had always pleased, but now he's forsaken. And as he pays the ultimate price for sin. In Isaiah 53:10, you might want to mark this verse in your Bible or highlight this verse. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Please the Lord, folks. In he hath put him to grief when thou hast made his soul an offering for sin. His soul, folks, was made an offering. The bodily sufferings of Jesus were not enough to satisfy God for sin. Y'all listening to me? Now we see his soul is required to pay for sin. His soul is here put for his life, or his whole human nature, which was sacrificed. His soul being tormented with the sense of God's wrath. His soul being tormented. And his body crucified. Body and soul and body separated by death. When his soul shall have made itself an offering for sin. In other words, Jesus gave his all. He didn't have anything left. He gave up all. He gave up all. He withheld nothing. It was required. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead in sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Hebrews 10:12, but after this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Can y'all imagine the relief Jesus sensed after undergoing the wrath of God? Forsaken, abandoned by his own father, Jesus helplessly suffered the just for the unjust. This is how God has viewed sin. This is the price sin required to pay for my sin. And your sin. Only Jesus, because he was the God-man, could satisfy God concerning sin. It took God to satisfy God for sin, folks. Mere man couldn't do that. And yet people today, I don't need God. I can make it. Only Jesus Christ could satisfy God because he was the God-man. So without a Savior, every person will suffer this wrath of God in a place called the lake of fire and brimstone for eternity, to die without Jesus Christ. Revelation 24 says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know the Savior today? There's only one Savior. And Jesus, God's only Son, is the one who died in your place so you could be saved. No one has ever suffered like Jesus. No one knows the wrath of God like Jesus. No one loves you like Jesus. Did you get that? Please don't ignore him. Please. During the 7-year tribulation, here's the response of people when God's wrath comes. Just a little illustration I want to share. In Revelation 6:15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondsman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountain. Hey, these people with authority, these people that think they're somebody, these people that think everybody's got to obey them. The Bible says that they hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. You see, folks, let me tell y'all something. I know y'all know this. Y'all have heard me too much. People's not going to escape the wrath of God if you die without Christ. You're going to face the wrath of God if you die without Christ. The great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and it treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. God's wrath will be coming upon people during the tribulation, and people by the tens of millions. Did you get that? Tens of millions will be violently killed, and their souls will be flung into the fire of hell for eternity. That's what's coming. We're right on the verge of it. The rapture taking place. We're on the verge of it. It could happen any second. Israel's in her land. The nations have lined up. The Israelite people have got everything ready to build that temple. People, we better wake up. God requires man to repent of his sin and trust his Son as their Savior. This is the only escape from the wrath of God. Out in the Midwest, people, some of them build places to go hide when tornadoes come. Won't be any place to hide when the wrath of God comes. This is the only escape from the wrath of God. Please do not die without Jesus as your Savior. God means what he says. He says what he means. It's only the grace of God that we have a Savior. And it would be an unwise decision to reject him as your Savior. At 3 o'clock, Jesus from his cross said in John 19:30, it's finished. Don't you know those are 6 long hours? And he bowed his head, gave up the ghost. So that literally means he dismissed his own spirit from his body. He didn't die like the criminals beside him, but he was still in charge. He dismissed his own spirit from his body. And he took that thief that said, remember me, Lord. He took him with him to paradise. Luke 23:42. And he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Folks, that's all you got to do. All you got to do is ask Jesus and he'll save you. He don't ever say no. Have you asked him to save you? You got to recognize you're that sinner he died for. He went through all this for you, but you got to ask him. You've got to ask him. Thus the sufferings of Christ ended in victory for you and me. Let me make one important point. When Jesus died upon the cross, he did not go to hell, as some people ignorantly claim. Amen. Jesus paid for sin on the cross. Amen. There are those who fail to understand that Jesus paid for all sin on the cross. That's where he paid for sin, on the cross. He was judged with the wrath of God on the cross. He suffered the agony of hell, was separated from God on the cross. But when he died, he went to paradise. Took that man that just got saved there with him. He went down to where Abraham was and Moses was and David was and all the Old Testament saints were at. He went down there where they were in paradise. And he took them all to heaven. And that's where they're at today. Amen. Today, we don't go down into the earth where they were at. We go directly into the presence of the Lord. Absent from the body now, we're present with the Lord in the church age. The church age weren't taking place when Jesus died on the cross. That was under the old economy. We're in the New Testament. The church age. We go directly into heaven. Isn't that wonderful, folks? Can you say amen to that today? Yeah. After his suffering and paying for all men's sin, very few people will actually be saved according to Jesus. After all he went through, by the numbers of people that they are, only a few is going to be saved. Isn't that a shame? 2 Corinthians 4:4. Why won't people get saved? In whom the God of this world has blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil's blinding people, deceiving people. And I'll end with this thought. The reason that Satan is so effective today is because all the gimmicks, the attractions that this world is offering people today. Too many things to catch our attention. Too many things that glitter. And the people under this thing, well, God loves me, everything will be all right. It won't be all right unless you humble yourself and say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I want you to forgive me. I want you to save me. And he says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart, we're supposed to confess it. Make it public. I believe Jesus is my Savior. I'm trusting him. Have you really did that?
Amen.
Are you really trusting him? Loving him? Serving him? I trust that you will. Let's bow for prayer, all of us. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Father, for letting me stand here today with the body of Christ and share this message from your word that tells us about all the awful sufferings of Jesus, that our sins were so awful, so horrible, that it required that Jesus, the God-man, would have to come himself and die upon a cross, because only he could satisfactorily deal with our sin problem. But having done so, he said, now if you'll accept me as your Savior, if you believe in me, if you acknowledge your sin, I'll forgive you. I'll save you. And I'll bring you to live with me forever one day. Touch hearts today, Lord. Challenge hearts today, Lord. Save anyone in here not really saved, Lord. Help them to cry out for mercy today, Lord. Help us to keep preaching this message, Lord. And we thank you and love you. In our Savior's wonderful saving name, amen and amen. And may God bless you.